Like sands through the Blackwater, so are the days of our Milton. And now, another episode of City Council Melodrama Theater.
All right, moving to the next item. I had asked for folks to be reflecting on a potential policy for comments to the press. We've seen how that has created difficulties. I've also noticed articles that have come out where I didn't realize, you know, that was ever going to be published. The information that was quoted in the paper in an article I saw in August, I had never been told. And, you know, I still have questions about it. So I think it'd be helpful if we continue to think about a policy that would be helpful for all of us and for staff to guide how Milton is reflected in the press.
Why are people talking to the media and I don't know about it? Why are people sharing information with other people and I don't know about it? I'm the mayor. I'm supposed to know this stuff. God, we need a policy that tells people what they can and cannot say to the media. Stupid media. Oh, I hate it. So, yeah, you know, Mayor Heather Lindsay, City of Milton, last week in the agenda review. I always get those three different meetings. Yeah, the agenda review. What we need in place is a rule, you know, to control what people say to the media. And should that rule include employees, you know, staff? Okay, sure. What about the rest of the people who are on council? Everybody. It should come through me, for goodness sakes.
So, I mean, we've seen how that has been upsetting to us at different points over the last several months in particular. So it makes sense to have a policy that will guide staff and guide us, I think, too, so that we're focused on what reflects well on Milton, what helps us look the best that we can be.
How can we possibly look good as a city if I don't control all the communications? My goodness, people, why don't you get in line? Okay, so that was Mayor Heather Lindsay. And by the way, you know, of course, her version of this is, look, all of this chaos and disagreement and information coming out from different sources makes us all look dumb. And I'd like to alleviate that. I'd like to have us look a lot smarter. There are some ways that could happen. Anyway, so Jeff Snow disagrees. This came up before a couple years ago. They were having this conversation too, where she's just frustrated about the discordant communications coming from various members of council and coming from staff.
Mayor?
Yes, sir.
You brought this up a couple of years ago, trying to restrict our First Amendment right on this council. And again, I will still not support any restriction of my First Amendment right. I can speak to who I want, when I want. Thank you.
I'm sorry you see it that way.
Well, that's the way I saw it. I mean, it's not just the way Jeff saw it. I think that's the way I don't know, maybe you disagree with me. Maybe you think I'm overreacting. Maybe you think that a call to have a contact with the members of the press and media policy to rein in this crazy disagreement that people in the city council and also staff have. And by the way, I don't have a problem with there being a media policy for staff, but the mayor does not run the city. This is actually, you know, so in Pensacola, we have a strong mayor. It used to be the policy of Mayor Hayward that all communications would run through the, you know, public information officer. It hasn't been that way since. And so if you have somebody who's like a strong mayor and responsible for all the staff, you could implement a policy like that. On the other hand, in the case of Milton, there's no strong mayor. I mean, there's the city administrator, and certainly incoming Scott Collins could implement a policy like that. A more normal policy, a typical policy for the media, is that anybody below the director level isn't supposed to, you know, talk to us or give us information. Of course, you can't control what people are going to say, and they decide that they don't believe that the party line is working, and so they want to get around that and tell stuff anonymously if it's prohibited, or, you know, with attribution if it's not prohibited. So it's not like people are going to stop talking to us. But, you know, you kind of see where this is going, and I read it the same way Jeff does. I said, first of all, it's one thing to have a policy with regards to staff. You don't get to implement it, by the way. She's not a strong mayor. She's a formalities mayor. She's there to break ties only and run meetings. And so, you know, you can't tell staff what to do. You can't personally tell staff what to do. But as far as us, like the members of city council, they're elected by the people. They can say what they want. They're accountable to the voters. That's it. They're not accountable to the mayor. And so the idea of implementing a policy to control what they say is, well, it's something.
I would like for us to know what's going on before I see it in the paper. So I'm not restricting, I'm not proposing something that would restrict someone's rights. I'm suggesting, wouldn't it be nice if we have information so that we can understand what's going on before the rest of the world knows?
Now this, I totally get the frustration because you feel like you have one picture of what's going on in the city, and then along comes a press article, Navarre Press or, you know, the PNJ or Channel 3 or, you know, I run some story and like, oh, dang. No. Why us? Right. And, you know, she wants to know stuff before the press does. I will share you a secret. Every government that I have interacted with has the problem that they can't keep up with everything before the press knows it. And you have all kinds of different layers of this. Like sometimes you have the communications people are the last to know. I mean, that's the truth. You know, if I call the official communication, I'm not saying this is true in Milton. I'm saying in some cases, okay, whether it's institutions or whether it's, you know, bureaucracies, like government bureaucracies, the communications person is sometimes the last to be told stuff, right, or last to find out. So if I ask the official person, then they have to go find it out. On the other hand, sometimes I find who's good and who's bad at this, okay? And sometimes the communications person's real fast to know. And so I go to them as much as I can because they know. A lot of times you got to go around them just because they're always late to the information. But there's no government in existence where they're going to know everything before the media does as a unit, as like the mayor wants to be informed and everybody else is going to. It just doesn't exist. That's not going to happen unless everybody agrees about everything, in which case it doesn't matter. Nobody's going to even bother covering it because there's nothing interesting there to find. Sherry Sebastio, a former city of council member.
I mean, we had a discussion about this a couple years ago about, you know, what we can and can't do, or what press can say and what they can't say. I hate to say it. Unfortunately, there's nothing you can do about when it comes to press. You can't stand over top of them and tell them to do it this way or to do it that way, or we don't want you to say this or we don't want you to say that. Unfortunately, what you say and the press sees it, it's out there and you can't stop it. You can't be in control of it. It's just a matter of fact.
The only thing I would disagree with her about is the unfortunately. No, that's a feature, not a bug of the system, right? That's the First Amendment. That's the idea, is that we're there to kind of watch the government, pay attention, ask questions, seek information, and put stuff out that maybe you don't want out, because that's stuff that people have a right to know about or need to know about if they're going to hold you accountable as the voters.
The only thing that you can do is just be a better person and watch what you say. If you're worried about how somebody's going to see how you react or what you do. And again, I know that because I've seen things that I've said that's been tossed and turned. Does it bother me? Yes, it bothers me. But let me tell you something. I also have learned that, you know, if you don't want somebody to turn something around, then say it right. Do it right. Be careful what you say.
Also true. Now, there are some in, you know, my industry, in my profession, that don't do a great job of telling the truth. They're very biased in their presentation of the information. There are other people who make mistakes, and we're all human. We all do both of these, by the way. And then there are other folks who, you know, tend to get it right, tend to tell the whole story, try to give you full context, and, you know, come up with something reliable in the end. And ultimately, just like you have to choose your politicians based on what you think the best information justifies, you have to choose your media sources based on what you think the best information justifies. Over time, that organization or that person gets it right, that organization or that person gets it wrong, and you make decisions. But the way you do that is on the basis of full, free-flowing information, not on the basis of some kind of, like, prior restraint where all communications goes through the mayor's office before it gets vetted and winds up showing up in the paper.
I hope this council doesn't entertain anything of restriction on speech or anything here. There's plenty of examples of, you know, things that have just happened recently of staff that reported stuff to the Press Gazette, and apparently you didn't have a problem with that.
Yeah, because the clerk was creating her own communications that were not a response to the information requested. That happened with apparently with Ken Garneth of our press. I know that happened with me. I asked for public records, and I got given a timeline that was crafted by Don Molinaro. Not to beat a, you know, fired horse, but, you know, that was not what I asked for. And I didn't, you know, at the time, it seemed like that was actually responsive to me. So, oh, okay, this is useful. It was only later I'm like, well, that's not what I asked for at all. And that, you know, turns out there were other people that got that same kind of misdirection in the information that I still have never been given all of the information that we asked for. So Pam Mitchell, who is part of the Pitchfork Posse, responding to Jeff Snow, who is against Mayor Lindsay quite frequently, just so you kind of know who the players are and what the teams are.
I just want to say that I find it...
Oh, and by the way, sorry, Jeff's point was that Heather Lindsay was fine with Dawn communicating with us and giving us information that wasn't even what we were asking for and did allege things that was very adverse to the city, and that's, of course, why she got fired in the end, was because of that primarily.
That I find it very, very hypocritical that just a little while ago you were bashing the former city clerk for communicating to the press, and you wanted to control what she said, but yet now you don't want anybody to control or have any say about what you might say to the press.
Can I respond to that?
May I finish?
Yeah, I can. I'm just asking if I could respond.
Oh, that's up to the mayor. I'm sure she'll allow you to respond. She always does.
Yeah, well, often does. I'll say mostly does.
You feel like you have a right from your place on that dais to call people socialist and democrats and all kinds of other words. And, you know, you don't have a greater right than anyone else, Councilman Snow. And so for you to say that there shouldn't be, that there should be restrictions on staff and other people, what they can say to the press, but not for you, that's just very, very hypocritical.
It's amazing how much she gets wrong in this commentary. So first of all, he wasn't calling for restrictions, what we call prior restraint. In legal terms, prior restraint is preventing somebody from saying a thing before they say it. That's the legal term if you intervene to stop a publication before it's allowed. Typically, you have to allow the publication, like for libel and slander kind of things, or for, you know, state secrets, they can issue prior restraint, okay? Somebody comes in, they say, then you can punish them if they said it inappropriately afterwards. But that's for staff. And he's not even proposing prior restraint for staff. He's just saying, well, if staff says something that's against our policy or that's a lie or adverse to the city, they should be able to be fired for it. Well, yeah, I mean, of course, that's normal in an organization. That doesn't mean that the same policy would apply to the city council members because they're elected officials, not staff. The way you fire them, unless they violate ethics or do something illegal, is you have an election every 4 years. So there's no hypocrisy in saying that staff should be accountable for the things that they say to the city administrator and council members should be accountable for the things they say to the voters. That's the way the system works. So claiming that's hypocrisy is a bizarre thing to allege. Not to mention the fact that, you know, again, what Don Molinaro did was spread information which was false and not responsive to records requests.
Well, with that being said about the city clerk, she has a right to say what she wants. But when this council is her boss and you, yeah, she got fired for a reason. When you send an article or information that the press did not ask for, extra information that they did not ask for.
That's correct.
You can send what you want. She had a right to send it. Was that the right thing to do? No. She sent false information that was untrue. So that is a firing offense to me.
And not responsive to the records request, which was also a problem for the clerk. 524 on News Radio 92.3. So that's scene one, as you would expect, that there may be more coming. By the way, I had only gotten through about half of the meeting, and then I finally watched the rest of the meeting, or listened to actually the rest of the meeting. I'm like, there's always more in the city of Milton where good living flows. 524 on News Radio 92.3. That's their slogan. You didn't know that? The city where good living flows. Yeah, that's the official slogan of the city of Milton. Yeah, 524 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
I'm getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20.
So am I, because I'm at risk for pneumococcal pneumonia.
If you're 19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, COPD, or heart disease, or are 65 or older, you are at increased risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Ask your doctor or pharmacist about Prevnar 20, pneumococcal 20-valent conjugate vaccine. It can help protect you against pneumococcal pneumonia in just one dose. Even if you've already been vaccinated with other pneumonia vaccines, Prevnar 20 may help provide added protection.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Hi, this is Todd Thompson, President and CEO of the Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce. Tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel for the Chamber Connection Show that will keep you informed on what's going on with your Chamber of Commerce. Tune in at 10 to find out about our upcoming events, all of our different programs, and what's happening with our local business community. It's the Chamber Connection Show every other Monday at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
As a business owner, you have a lot on your plate, from managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. As an IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, remitting state and federal taxes, helping with COVID employee retention credits, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and their HR expertise. Avalon HR lets you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Avalon HR, employing made easy.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, Pep Talk, 9 to 11, before Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
You're one ugly mother...
It shouldn't be the city where good living flows. It should be the city where good governance flows, like treated affluent. 527 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Well, that's harsh. At least treated affluent you can drink. I mean, Randy Jorgensen drank it. 437-1620. It's true. 437-1620. Doesn't the oath of the office of mayor for Milton include defending the U.S. Constitution Amendment 1 about free speech? Oh, I assume. I don't know the actual oath that she takes, but I assume there's something like that in there. Yeah, typically so. 528, David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David, never disappoints, does it?
Never.
Never. Go on.
Apple's working to fix overheating issues in the new iPhone 15. Apparently, the newest iPhone model was out for less than a week when users began reporting cell phones were overheating when being used for basic functions. Over the weekend, Apple said they'd identified several issues that may be causing that problem, including a software bug in iOS 17. Apparently, that'll be fixed with an update soon. How a software bug causes a physical overheating, I guess I'm not really sure, but
I mean,
apparently it can with newer devices.
Not
I don't
to
know.
Speak outside of my zone, but it can based on how it manages the resources, I'm assuming, or what it does and doesn't allow to work at certain speeds, and that can cause overheating. I think they've identified the bug. The bug is the brand Apple.
That's the bug?
Sorry, go ahead. I'm a hater. It's all right.
Former President Trump will be in New York City today for his civil fraud trial. Opening statements are set for 10 a.m. Eastern. This is the case brought on by New York Attorney General Letitia James, accusing Trump and his family of inflating their net worth by saying their real estate portfolio is worth more than it actually is. And two more auto facilities now on strike as the UAW has expanded its strike to 7,000 more workers last Friday. Ford's Chicago plant and General Motors' Lansing Delta Township plant were both added to the strike. That brings it to about 25,000 workers.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 437-1620, that's my phone number. Had a fairly interesting game over the weekend. UWF Argos doing their thing.
Four receivers in the set, single back is Wilson. Jarrett will pull it from Wilson's stomach. He's looking down the field. He's got a man. It's a touchdown, John Giles. Argos on the board.
7-3 at that point. John Giles with his first of many touchdowns. They got up to 14-3. They got up to 20-3. Then they missed a field goal to go into the half, so it was 20-3 at the half. North Greenville got a touchdown to make it 20-10. UWF got one back at 27-10. And then in basically back-to-back fashion, Greenville got a touchdown, and they stripped John Giles for basically a pick six. So they got two in a row back-to-back to make it 27-24. Three-point difference in the fourth quarter, but UWF came roaring back 48-24 with your final win. 277 yards for Giles. Best ever at UWF, fourth better in the best in the Gulf South Conference
Fox
ever.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. California Governor Gavin Newsom turns to LaFonza Butler, a former advisor to Kamala Harris, to fill the Senate seat left open when Senator Dianne Feinstein died late last week at the age of 90 after battling a series of illnesses. Some Republican members in the House want to fire Kevin McCarthy as House Speaker.
House Speaker Kevin McCarthy could not rely on GOP members alone to pass the stopgap spending bill, and because he reached across the aisle, Congressman Gates said this weekend that he's making good on a threat to file a motion to vacate against the speaker this week. And he says he's got backup for that.
Fox's Alexandra Hoff reporting. European Union foreign ministers meeting this hour in Kyiv. Russia's war in that nation stretches into its 19th month. And no winner of the Powerball jackpot this weekend means tonight's jackpot is at least $1.04 billion. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3. It is 68 degrees, partly cloudy skies right now in Pensacola. Northwest Florida's Matt Gaetz says he wants new leadership in Congress.
I do intend to file a motion to vacate against Speaker McCarthy this week. I think we need to rip off the Band-Aid. I think we need to move on with new leadership that can be trustworthy. Look, the one thing everybody has in common is that nobody trusts Kevin McCarthy.
And this all coming after McCarthy reportedly made a deal with Democrats on Saturday to pass legislation which avoided a government shutdown. Gates voted against that bill. He needs a majority vote if he wants to remove McCarthy as Speaker. Gates says he will not make any deals with Democrats, though, to get the needed votes for that to pass. One person has died after a fatal shooting at the Pensacola Village Apartments over the weekend. That happened on Sunday afternoon, and Pensacola police say two people were shot. One died. Another was taken to the hospital with unknown injuries. The victims' identities have not been released at this point. PPD says one suspect was taken into custody. Officers are still searching for other possible suspects in this case. We'll update you as we learn more. A cantonment man now charged with that shooting outside of the DeLuna Lanes bowling alley. That was just over a week ago. 19-year-old Nicholas Valia is charged with aggravated battery with a deadly weapon, among other charges. The incident happened late last month. Investigators say Valia shot a 17-year-old multiple times after getting into an argument with a group of people. The victim reportedly is recovering and doing well. Valia has been booked into the Escambia County Jail and released on $46,000 bond. Well, there's another crime now punishable by death here in the state of Florida. New law went into effect over the weekend, making people who rape a child under 12 now eligible for the death penalty. Governor Ron DeSantis says the law affects those who are the worst of the worst. A toll relief program reportedly saving drivers a lot of money here in Florida. Governor Ron DeSantis yesterday said Floridians have saved over $300 million since the toll relief program went into effect in January. In August, over a million customers apparently saved almost $40 million. The relief program does end at the end of the year, and the governor says over a million drivers have each saved almost almost $500 each by then. It is 534 News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
Beautiful weather continues across the Gulf Coast and Northwest Florida. Highs in the mid to upper 80s, a few spots even into the lower 90s, and low temperatures will continue in the 60s each and every morning. Lots of sunshine, very little in terms of rain chances. If you want to head down to the beach, be mindful. Rip current risk is still high for Monday and Tuesday. It should calm later through the work week. That's your weather forecast. I'm meteorologist Joseph Neubauer reporting here at WEAR News.
And right now, 69 degrees in Pensacola, 72 in Gulf Breeze, and 65 in Milton. Our next news at 6. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
News Radio Pensacola is your trusted source for hurricane coverage. If a hurricane approaches, News Radio Pensacola will provide you with the latest forecasts and warnings from the National Hurricane Center. If a hurricane approaches, News Radio Pensacola will help you find resources for disaster relief. If a hurricane approaches, News Radio Pensacola will interview experts on hurricane preparedness and safety. No one covers the storms like News Radio 92.3.
The I-10 Wired Summit returns October 18th to Pensacola Beach. Sponsored in part by Data Revolution, the Southeast's premier cybersecurity and technology conference is your opportunity to get connected on the Gulf Coast. This year includes the AFSIA TechNet CyberCoast track, a $100,000 prize pitch competition, and a concert by the Molly Ringwalds at Casino Beach Bar. Special pricing is available for college students and government employees. Go to i10wired.com for tickets and event information.
Advertising, marketing, digital marketing? These are words you hear a lot about. But what exactly do they mean? How do you get started? Where do you get started? Well, you can start by tuning in to the Pensacola Expert Panel this morning at 10:30. Join me, Tasca King. I'll show you how to navigate the changing and fast-growing landscape of digital advertising. This morning at 10:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
More news, more talk with Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins on at 11, right after the Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Made an agreement with House conservatives in January, and since then he has been in brazen, repeated material breach of that agreement. This agreement that he made with Democrats to really blow past a lot of the spending guardrails we'd set up is a last straw. And then overnight I learned that Kevin McCarthy had a secret deal with Democrats on Ukraine. So as he was baiting Republicans to vote for a continuing resolution without Ukraine money, saying that we were going to jam the Senate on Ukraine, he then turns around and makes a secret deal. Now, I know you and I probably have different views on U.S. involvement in Ukraine, but however you think about that question, it should be subject to open review, analysis, and not some backroom deal.
This is Matt Gaetz, of course, talking with Jake Tapper yesterday, State of the Union, big interview, made a lot of news. You even heard David mention that it was top of the hour news for Fox as well. Lots of questions around the future of the House, questions including things like, will Kevin McCarthy be the Speaker of the House after this week? Will Matt Gaetz be a member of the House after this week? there's a move afoot to expel him from the chamber because he's causing so much trouble for the Republicans, and some of them do not like it. Perhaps the majority do not like it. Some thinking that he's a showboater, he's not serious. I forget who this was. Smith, I want to say, was the last name that I saw, but this is a guy that State of the Union that CNN ran yesterday, a Republican criticizing him.
Unfortunately, a handful of people, and in particular a party of one, Matt Gaetz, have chosen to put his own agenda, his own personal agenda, above all else. He's not a conservative Republican, he's a charlatan.
I've known Matt a long time, and I think you can quibble with some of the elements of his conservatism that don't line up with the traditional party views on things like, gay rights issues, some issues related to marijuana. There may be a couple of other ones as well. Foreign policy depends on where you are on that, some of that stuff. But he is a conservative. He's a well-thought-out, very coherent thinker, and I definitely do not think that he's a charlatan. Like I said, I've known him a long time, and he's honestly one of the smartest people that I know, and I have great respect for Matt Gaetz. I don't always agree with him, but respect doesn't require agreement, right? So this notion that he's somehow a fake conservative or whatever, I don't know, man. I've known him a long time, and I just do not agree with that assessment. But nevertheless, what he was really being asked is, will he file a motion to vacate the speaker's to vacate the office of the speaker to get rid of Kevin McCarthy, which would require a majority, 218. And if he can get that, which he could only get that with Democrats, just like McCarthy could only defend it without the 5 to 10 Republicans that are against him and have been against him for a long time. Remember the deal they made back in January, was it, when they're electing the speaker, I guess? And, there was a deal that these are the certain things that you're going to do. Well, he hasn't done those things, like clean spending resolutions, like, particular voting on departments of the executive to come up for a vote so that you could have For example, a vote on whether to fund the Department of Transportation separate from a vote on whether to fund the military. Because what happens now is it's all in one big package. And so you have to vote on all of that. And, you know, maybe there's a lot of Republicans don't want to fund the Department of Education, but are willing to fund, for example, the Department of Energy. You know, and he thinks they should all be separate. I agree. That would be a step in the direction of the line item veto that we have here in Florida that would allow people to vote their conscience, basically, on different departments and what their actions are, or to not necessarily defund them, but to lower the funding level for different departments. And that would be a way to start to rein in some of the government spending. That would also potentially, theoretically, allow you to take away things like all of these add-ons, these earmarks, all of the stuff that goes into, I mean, let alone an omnibus, which is a giant package of all the spending, and even into the continuing resolution kind of stuff, which is kind of how we've been funding for so long. Anyway, so he says, yeah, I'm going to file a motion to get rid of the speaker this week.
I do intend to file a motion to vacate against Speaker McCarthy this week. I think we need to rip off the Band-Aid. I think we need to move on with new leadership that can be trustworthy. Look, the one thing everybody has in common is that nobody trusts Kevin McCarthy. He lied to Biden. He lied to House conservatives. He had appropriators marking to a different number altogether. And the reason we were backed up against this shutdown politics is not a bug of the system, it's a feature. Kevin McCarthy's goal was to make multiple contradictory promises, to delay everything, back us up against shutdown politics, and at the end of the day, blow past the spending guardrails.
So he says, this is no way to run a government, and I want him out. I want a different speaker. Not because I wanted a different speaker to start, though he did. Remember, he was the last holdout, and if I remember the TikTok of it exactly, he had to vote present in order for the majority to dip to 217 so that with the votes in hand, McCarthy could get a lot. I remember that's digging deep in my, 10 months ago kind of memory. But anyway, that's what I think happened. And so he says he didn't hold up his end of the deal. So that's it. But Matt, you don't have enough votes, right?
You need 218 votes to get him out of the speakership. You don't have 218 Republican votes. You're going to need Democrats. Let's start with the Republicans. How many Republicans do you have?
Well, enough so that when you host this show next week, if Kevin McCarthy is still the Speaker of the House, he will be serving at the pleasure of the Democrats. He will be working for the Democrats. The only way Kevin McCarthy is Speaker of the House at the end of this coming week is if Democrats bail him out. Now, they probably will.
And so one way or the other, because you've got this split in the thin majority Republicans hold in the House, Kevin McCarthy can't retain speakership without making a deal with somebody. Well, the holdouts, what some people are calling the hardliners or the ultra-conservatives. You know, it's funny because the media calls them the ultra-conservatives, and then the Republicans who want to blast them call them the fake conservatives. I'm like, well, it can't be both. It's kind of got to be one or the other. But anyway, he cannot hold the speakership without reaching across the Democrats. Now, of course, Matt Gaetz, can't get rid of him without reaching across the Democrats also, or at least without working with Democrats. But the difference is, do you just vote with them and persuade them, or do you offer them concessions, right? Gaetz' argument is that McCarthy's going to have to offer them things, and now he's not just voting with, but he's dealing, offering negotiations with the Democrats. And he says, I don't want to offer negotiations. I want them to vote out McCarthy so we can get a better speaker in.
I actually think that when you believe in nothing, as Kevin McCarthy does, everything's negotiable.
Okay, but let's
and I
be,
think he'll
try
to deal with the Democrats.
Let's be honest here, though, because if you succeed in vacating him, you also will have to make a deal with the Democrats. You also will have to get Democratic votes to kick him out.
Absolutely. I will make no deal with Democrats and concede no terms to them. I actually think Democrats should vote against Speaker McCarthy for free. I don't think I should have to deal them
anything. Oh, so you're not going to cut any deals with him?
Absolutely not. And I don't think that any Republicans that share my view on Speaker McCarthy would cut deals with Democrats.
So it's a long interview. It was a very good interview. And as you should not be surprised to expect, Matt Gaetz is very good at debating on his feet with Jake Tapper, which is honestly, it's the kind of interview I wish we had more often, where you really had good back and forth. And, Jake knows his stuff. He's a very sharp guy. He's historically been one of my favorite reporters in Washington. And he was the best in the White House press pool back in the day with Obama. I mean, he was honestly the best reporter in the press pool. And then he went to CNN and he lost his way and he kind of got to be a partisan and stopped being the great reporter that he had been. But it's still underneath all of that. it's still in there somewhere. And it comes out the best when he's fighting with Republicans because that's his most intuitive way to fight. But no, Jake's a very sharp guy and he brings up a lot of good stuff with Matt. And so the question is, well, Matt, look, this government shutdown, that's no way to run a government either. And McCarthy says that you got a worse deal for your fiscal conservative views because he had to do something that would pass the Senate in order to get, you know, the votes with the Democrats on his side in the House. And Matt says, yeah, but we were never going to get anything better than that anyway. It's fantasy land to think that somehow what I did was got us a less conservative outcome. We were never going to get the conservative outcome through this process anyway. So it didn't cost us anything, but it did make a stand on principle that says, look, this has got to be reformed, and Kevin McCarthy is not going to be the guy to reform it. So the basic problem you've got here is that most Republicans, my opinion, okay, Andrew's opinion, most Republicans in Congress would prefer to have, I mean, I hope this is true, a more conservative, not just like spend less, but spend properly and better control over the budget than the system that we've got now, which leads to these terrible situations, including, you know, crises with continuing resolutions, all that stuff. And you cannot get a better system under Kevin McCarthy. You can't just, you will not get it because he's had, what, 8 months to do it and he hasn't done it. 9 months to do it and he hasn't done it. So we're not going to get there with this mechanism. And he's repeatedly done things the contrary. And as Matt says, he's repeatedly lied to different people and promising them things. So Kevin McCarthy's got to go. We got to find somebody else. The question is who? Who's your other person? You know, Byron Donalds. I mean, who knows, okay? Who's your other person going to be that's going to actually do something in the right direction and try to control the House a little bit? And will that person be effective when the Senate is controlled thinly by the Democrats? And, of course, Democrats have the White House right now. Well, these are all open questions. Can they get a majority to elect somebody like that? Can they get a majority that's going to be willing to get rid of McCarthy? Who's, are the Democrats going to be involved? Is there a conservative Republican that Democrats would be willing to vote for? Yeah, probably not. But you do have enough Republicans to do it on your own. That's what it means to have a majority. So this is going to be a very interesting week in the House of Representatives. Again, also because it looks like there's rumblings that you might have a move to oust Matt Gaetz entirely from his seat for all of this trouble because of the ongoing kind of never-ending investigations against him for ethics breaches or allegations of misconduct. These stories have been around for several years now, and nothing has ever come of it. And he says, I'm the most investigated person in Washington. The people who have claimed these things are true are now in jail. That's true. You know, so where does this all go? So what it is, I put a poll together, and it was a question that I had gotten asked by a couple of people, and I figure it's worth asking you. So the poll is simply this. Do you support Matt Gaetz? Like right now, do you support Matt Gaetz and what he's trying to do? And here's how you enter into the poll. You just text in Gaetz. Be sure to spell it right or it won't count. G-A-E-T-Z. That's how you got to spell it. So G-A-E-T-Z and then yes or no. You support what Matt is trying to do in reforming the spending process and ousting Speaker McCarthy and getting somebody in who will actually follow through on those reforms? Or no. You don't support him. This is not what you asked for, putting funding for the entire country on the line, threatening military people to go without pay for a short period of time. If that had happened, they would have gotten back pay, but they would have had to work for free for a time, right? That could have been a byproduct of having a government shutdown, which did not happen. Just to be clear, that did not happen. But that's what the critics are saying. That's what Kevin McCarthy is saying. How dare he in his own district with all these military people, right? So you support Matt Gaetz, yes. Do you support Matt Gaetz, no. 437-1620, text in G-A-E-T-Z, and then a yes or a no, and we'll kind of let you know how that poll goes throughout the morning. 549 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you need hardware, if you need safety equipment, if you just need advice, you know, like, dear Pensacola Hardware, like, you need advice on how to do something because you're – and I had an old boss of mine that always said, Andrew, there's only two times when I want you to come to me for advice. I want you to come to me when you're not sure what to do and when you are. And because, like, always. And so same thing with Pensacola Hardware. You think you know how to repair a thing. You think you know the best way. Well, just ask them. Because if it's right, they'll tell you it's right. And if it's wrong, they'll tell you how to do it right. And that's what you want to find out. So when you're thinking about what you're going to do for a home repair or an improvement, or for goodness sakes, if you're a professional builder, go to them and ask. They are the experts. We've gotten ourselves in a situation where expertise in the retail environment is a little bit thin a lot of times, right? You feel like you know more than the person. When you go to Pensacola Hardware, you will not know more than a person. They will know better, and they will be able to help you because they've been doing this for forever, since before the Civil War, 1851, the oldest business in the entire state of Pensacola. I mean, obviously, the people who work there now don't work there then, but there's this ongoing legacy of information, knowledge, expertise, and guidance that saturates their entire corporate culture. Pensacola Hardware, right downtown at 20 East Gregory Street.
Fall is a great time of the year for gardening, whether it's fertilizing the lawn, pruning, planting shrubs, and of course, winter vegetables. This is Mike Quiggins. If you've got fall gardening questions, we've got the answers on the News Radio Garden Line every Tuesday morning at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. And if you miss us on Tuesday, then catch the Encore Edition every Saturday morning at 9.
Presented by Pensacola Hardware, Blue Sky Landscaping, Barnes Feed Store, and Lucky's Pine Straw.
Ballet Pensacola season opens at the Center Friday, October 6th at 7 p.m. The production of Dracula, backed by popular demand, on stage October 6th through the 8th and the 13th through the 15th. The legendary tale is really spookily delight the audience's taste in ballet as Ballet Pensacola's dancers travel from Transylvania to London in a pursuit of chaotic seduction, lust, and frightful encounters. Inspired by Bram Stoker's original, audiences are enticed to join in should they dare. Tickets online at balletpensacola.org or by calling Pensacola Little Theater.
There's nothing worse than being charged to spend your own money. That's why, at Penair Credit Union, our fee-free checking account has surcharge-free ATMs available from Pensacola to Pensil wherever. So wherever you go, you can bet there's a surcharge-free ATM waiting for you. Because hey, we don't like fees any more than you do. So our checking has no monthly fees, no balance requirements, and thousands of surcharge-free ATMs nationwide. Penair Checking. It just fits better. Make the switch at penair.org/checking. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hi, I'm Terrence A. Gross. As many of you know, I am a local board-certified personal injury lawyer, and I have practiced in this community for almost 40 years. Our law firm handles only people that have been injured due to the negligence of another. Join me this Wednesday at 10:30 on Pep Talk as we discuss all aspects of personal injury law.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Pensacola Right Now with Joe and Gracie from 4 till 7 right before Dave Ramsey on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
What the heck are you guys doing? Trying to ruin my life and make me look like a friggin' idiot?
Quick results on our Matt Gaetz support or not poll. It's kind of funny. We got seven votes for support, and one vote says no, but the Democrats aren't going to pick a more conservative House Speaker, so why would they go this way, which is kind of an eight, but not quite an eight. So 7-1 at the moment, and I'm not surprised by this. In fact, I figure the support for Matt is going to be pretty high, especially since people in this area, and particularly listeners to the station, tend to be more likely conservative. Although, I'll be honest, one of the things I pride myself on is the fact that lots of non-conservatives, non-Republicans, all sorts, you know, of every stripe, like listen to the show and find it useful. So, fourth, but, you know, we keep electing Matt, overwhelming majorities in the primary, overwhelming majority in the general election. I'd be very surprised to find out that the district doesn't still support him in this, viewing it as the best chance we have of reforming a, $33 trillion debt? Is that what it is right now? I mean, like, it's ridiculous the amount of spending and debt that goes on in Washington. 5:53 on News Radio 92.3. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Absolutely. Two parts of North Carolina's new abortion law are now being blocked. A federal judge granting injunctions on two provisions over the weekend, which kept them from going into effect yesterday. One of those referenced a vague part of the law, which required doctors to confirm the presence of the fetus in the uterus before medicine was prescribed. The other provision that was blocked was required abortions under certain conditions to be completed in hospitals. Zero bail policy has gone into effect in Los Angeles County, Andrew, in California. Apparently, as of Sunday, anybody arrested for nonviolent or non-serious crimes there are cited and released in situations where they would have previously been kept in jail. And just 9 months after he went into a cardiac arrest on the field, DeMar Hamlin is back the Buffalo Bills active roster. He took the field for the first time this season in the Bills game against the Miami Dolphins.
Very cool. David, thanks so much for the update. If you are thinking about, you know, maybe there's a way you can do employee benefits better for your employees, Torres and Causey, they're the folks to help with, like whether it's health insurance, dental, vision, life, disability. And by the way, HR management and payroll, all that. But, you know, it might be you want to do it better. Might be you're just wondering if somebody else can do it for you. Like, you know, maybe you're tired of the system that you've got right now and it's just frustrating or takes too much of your time and distraction. And you didn't get into business to do that red tape kind of stuff, but you'd like somebody else to do it. That Torquist and Causey, they got into business to do the red tape you hate because they like it. They're good at it. They're nerds at it and in a good way. I mean, like when we started using them about 6 years ago, they gave us options we didn't have before. That was refreshing. They gave us customer service that we definitely did not have before. Like, it was just fantastic. So I've been very, very satisfied with them. And my wife is a fairly demanding gal. You know, she's an engineer at heart. She asks questions. She's math, science, and wants to know the details. And a lot of times her opinion of insurance-type folks is not the best because they don't always. They're more salesmen than they are, you know, detail-type people. Torgerson and Causey, detail-type people. Like, they really get it. She's very satisfied, very happy with them. So 20-plus years serving local businesses just like yours, helping you do a little bit better by your employees. Torgerson and Causey, 433-9996, or check them out online at tcbenefitsgroup.com. 656 here on News Radio 92.3. Veterans and more. What did I say? 656? Well, it is in New York. 556 here on News Radio, or in Tallahassee. That's not us. Sorry about that. Veterans Memorial Park Foundation hosting a special celebration of service on Veterans Day at First Baptist Church of Pensacola. Mac McAnally will be performing with dinner. There's tickets limited to 300, and you can get them at newsradio923.com. Bands on the Beach tomorrow night. We've got, the date is the 3rd. That'll be True Blue Band tomorrow night performing at 7 o'clock, put on by the Santa Rosa Island Authority. Taste of Gulf Breeze comes up this Friday, October 6th, outside the Gulf Breeze Community Center, 6 to 9 for the regular, 5 o'clock for the VIP. Get tickets at newsradio923.com. 923.com. I'll be out there. Come and see me. Say hi. It's always a good time. What was the other thing I was going to tell you about? Oh, we do have tickets to give away. You know what? I'm feeling weirdly generous in the 5 o'clock hour, even though I can't tell the time properly. I feel like giving away tickets. I got FSU tickets. Home game against Virginia Tech coming up October 7th. That's, at Eastern time. I don't have a kickoff time here, but you can figure it out. Anyway, if you want to go to Tallahassee and watch them play against Virginia Tech coming up this Saturday, then I'll tell you what, you just be fast. 437-1620, you'll be caller number one. Right now, you win. Look at that. 5 o'clock hour listener rewards. What's that scowl for, Candy? Why are you scowling at me? Okay, all right, good. I like your lavender hoodie, by the way. You're getting you got at the Dollar General. Are you running for Senate? Is that what that means? Since you're wearing a hoodie? It's a John Fetterman joke.
I'm 6'8". What am I going to do? I can't find out.
558 on News Radio 92.3. Oh, my goodness. Where was I? Oh, did you happen to see? This is just one of those things where, you know, there's just no defending it, okay? You know, there's a lot of things that happen in football, you know, and there's sort of old school football where they would do a lot of things. But stomping a dude's neck and helmet when you get up from being entangled with him on the ground, that's not allowed. Louisiana Tech linebacker Brevin Randall suspended indefinitely after he stepped on the neck of UTEP offensive lineman Stephen Hubbard during Friday night's game. He wasn't penalized during the game because the refs didn't see it. They actually came over and apologized to the UTEP and said, I didn't see it. But they met with him and said he's been suspended indefinitely as a result of this. If you haven't seen the video, you could imagine it being more horrific, maybe, but it's really obvious. Like, he gets up and just horse stomps him in the helmet. I've just never seen anything quite like that in a football game. And, yeah, he should definitely be suspended for that. That's just absolutely outrageous behavior by anybody who plays the game of football. Who's our winner?
Our winner for playing the game of calling in is Clint Wombles of Pensacola. Picked up tickets to FSU, the home game against Virginia Tech.
Outstanding. And we have another pair to give away later in the day, by the way.
Yes, be listening.
You're listening to News Radio 92.3 WNRP Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.